Hello everyone, this is Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years into teaching. In the earlier units, we have discussed in detail how important it is to maintain a good and a stable industrial relation. But then we talk about disputes, wherein we want stable industrial relations, we will always avoid disputes. But somewhere disputes are inevitable. That are part and parcel of industries. There will be small conflicts which will take a greater form of disputes. But then we also understand what are the areas or causes of disputes, wherein we can improvise on those, and if the dispute arises, what possible cures we can take erase these disputes and have a smooth industrial relation. Industrial unrest means conflict between employers and workers in industries. So whenever we use the word unrest, unrest is a situation wherein both the parties are at a level of discomfort. And when we talk about discomfort, these arises due to difference in the opinions and ideas of these parties. And these are called as parties to the conflict. And here we are talking about employers and employees, organizations and trade unions who are parties to the conflict. So we actually mean to say that this unrest, this conflict can take a major form of dispute, and which will affect the overall industrial relations and the productivity of any organization. The industrial labor displays their protest in the form of strikes. So this may take a major form. Now see, wherever we go, we have difference in opinions, right? But then they do not take major forms because we settle down there and thereof. But when it comes to industry, the structure is so complex that sometimes we are unable to resolve it, and it takes major forms of stoppages of work like strikes, go slow tactics, demonstrations, and so on. And in some cases, the workers are very smart. What they do is they don't stop the work completely. They will not go on strike, but rather they will do their work at a very slow pace. That means the work which can be completed within an hour, they will do it very slowly, and they will try to do delays in the work. So that is more harmful, because the place is occupied by the worker. They are not officially on strike, they are officially working on their positions and machineries, but then they are doing it very slow. Further, they are making losses for their employers. Whereas the employers show there might be retrenchment, dismissal, and lockouts. So the other forms which we have seen, that is strikes and slowdowns, these are the forms or these are the representations made by the employees as a cause of unrest. These are the possibilities by the employees when there is unrest in any industry or organization. But the employers also, show some reactions to the actions taken by the employees. So they may also dismiss a few of the employees. They may also go on lockout, because somewhere lockout is a aggression shown by the employer towards the action shown by the employees. Whereas the employers show their retrenchment, dismissal, and lockouts, industrial unrest causes industrial recession and decline in the national income. So how does the cycle goes? That means whenever a particular unit has a capacity to produce certain number of units, and that particular capital invested, the manpower who is working in the unit is not functional due to any reason. Maybe it is a lockout or it is a strike done by employee. So somewhere the investment that we have made per day, returns what we are getting on that investment are not coming in. And that is a complete or a total loss for that particular organization. Looking at the production or the productivity, the number of units produced in their organization, okay, now they are not going in the market, but demand is there. and the shortage of supply will rise the prices of that particular product. So somewhere nobody is benefiting out of it. Workers who are on strike are not getting wages. At the same time, they are responsible to increase the price of that product. Somewhere they are responsible for the increase in price, which again they have to face because they are not earning. At the same time, they have to pay higher prices for the product. So overall, the economy is affected if there is unrest on a larger scale in any industry. The major factors behind such unrest is recent times are as follows. The trade union leaders try image building exercises. Now here somewhere there are no conflicts, or if there are any conflicts, that can be resolved internally. But then the union leaders or the trade union leaders, they want to show that they are so much concerned about the employees, and so they make sure this conflict is not solved internally. They take it to the another level, and then they make sure that after taking it to a great extent, they try to resolve the conflict. So somewhere they are building that image in the mind of workers that because of the union leaders, the conflict got resolved. Taking advantage of the political instability in the country, the trade union leaders seek concessions from the government and the factory owners. So now here the trade union leaders are taking it negatively. The trade union was formed basically to strengthen the industrial relations. But here some union leaders are taking the personal benefit out of it. Trade unionism has led to a deteriorating work culture among workers. The new economic policy, 1984, empowered the employers to punish workers by endorsing the method of lockout. So here we find out the two main other reasons of the unrest arising among the employees. One is due to the trade union activities. When the workers now have support of, you know, their fellow colleagues in the form of association, they have trade unions, they are empowered, and this somewhere gives an idea of going against the employer and not resolving the conflict at the internal level. They also want to, you know, somewhere have a rivalry with the employer and fight for their rights, etc. At the same time, employer is also being empowered according to the act that is 1984 that they can also declare lockouts to punish employees if they feel that the strike done by them is affecting the profitability of an organization and is unfair. So to punish their employees, what workers do is they declare lockouts. So somewhere, whether it be strikes or whether it be lockouts, the end results are negative for employer and employees as well. But here the sufferer, if we see the sufferer, lower class suffers a lot than the higher class of people. That means the employees are the ultimate sufferers. But when we talk about a total industry or total national income, that is also getting affected. The share of lockouts in total man days lost is on the increase. That means here we were discussing about the point that it will definitely impact the employee because they are losing their earnings, they are losing the wages per day coming out of that industry. Thus, there has been a substantial change in the industrial disputes, which strongly suggest an unfavorable treatment of the laborers. Here we discuss the major causes of why the unrest arises, or why there are conflicts, or what are the areas of conflicts found generally, you know, which are similar in nature, whether it be any type of industry. So first is wage related issues. The wage level in different industries vary tremendously. Now, depending on the type of industry and depending on the demand for the product coming out of that industry determines the wage structure. So somewhere the wage structure of every industry has a tremendous difference. And because of this, without thinking logically on it, employees, they declare strikes because they also want, similar kind of wages that are offered in other industries. Now, say, take an example that there are two industries, A and B. So, the product which are manufactured in the industry A are on high demand. So, automatically, the wages paid over there will be high. But then whatever the product coming out of, say, industry B are not in demand due to whatsoever reason. So, here also the employee is looking at industry A that they are getting higher wages and we are not getting that amount of wages without knowing the actual reasons of why there is so much of disparity. They will call for a strike. The disparity in wages between skilled and unskilled labor is a large even within an enterprise. Now, here we have compared for two industries, A and B. But this particular point is talking about internal disparity of wages, that is for skilled workers and for unskilled workers. This is true in both the organized and the unorganized sector. The demand of higher bonus has been a major cause of the industrial dispute. Now, basically, what is bonus that we study in detail when we study the Bonus Act 1965? But somewhere to give an idea, bonus is something extra paid by the employer, because of the higher productivity of the employee and the higher profitability, the employer willingly shares a part of its profit with their employees. But then employees at the same time are looking for the higher amount of bonuses to be paid by employer, which is an area of conflict. Because now employer here is not ready to give up higher payouts when it comes to bonuses. Lack of welfare and social security. This is again a major cause of conflict and unrest. When we talk about social security measures, they are divided into two parts. That is social insurance, which covers job security. Then social assistance, which helps the employee to raise their standard of living through various means. Social insurance schemes are generally financed by the employees, employers, and the state. However, such welfare measures face the following problems. Now, talking about social insurance, ESIC, if we talk about ESIC, is one of the social insurance. So, in these type of schemes, the contributors are employers, employees, and up to some extent, state government also contributes to such type of insurance. Insufficient coverage, lack of employment insurance, inherent bottlenecks of exit policy, overlapping schemes, and lack of facilities, requirement of beneficiaries. So these are the major causes because of which the social insurance is not being implemented in industries or is not having its coverage. That means few industries are being covered under this social insurance schemes, but then few industries are left out. So there is a coverage issue. Then we talk about the contributions. Employer are not readily, ready to contribute to the social insurance of the employee. So these are the various, issues which are hindering the social insurance policy to be implemented in any industry. Demand for improved working condition. Now, when an employee or a worker goes to a workplace which is very unhygienic and where he is not able to work, to a greater effectiveness, that hinders the productivity as well. And over a period of time, that may again lead to unrest among the employees. So, proper or better working conditions are always in demand. Laborers work in a miserably poor conditions. So, when we talk about work condition or poor condition, that may be a combination of unhygienic condition, unavailability of proper drinking water, improper ventilation, overcrowding. So these are the various aspects wherein we think what is exactly working condition. The atmosphere is unhygienic and the employers do not take sufficient steps to preserve their safety. So at the same time, it's also unhygienic and it is not that safe for any employee to work over there. But then employers willingly are not ready to spend extra money and rectify on these issues. We do have provisions in Factory Act 1948 which satisfies the health and safety of the employee. But then it is only when it is made compulsory, but voluntarily the employers are not ready to do this. Demand for improved working conditions, lesser working hours, better safety measures, holidays, leaves, etc. provoke trade unions to fight against employers. So now every worker has that right, to claim that maximum working hours that is being prescribed by any industry. And then improved working condition gives rise to the unrest that the employer is not able to provide or is not ready to provide the employees, but then the employee need it. So this gives a rise to friction among the objectives of employer and employee. Again, when the formation of trade unions are being done in an organization, so multiplicity of the trade union, they create unnecessary or artificial frictions among the employer and employee. Wave of globalization. Now when we know we are in the era of globalization, wherein so many multinational companies who are allowed to set their operations in India, so what is happening with their updated technology and processes? The Indian companies are not able to compete with them. And to compete with them or to offer products and services which stand competitive in the market, what is happening is employer are continuously trying to reduce their cost of production. And at the same time, the employee, they are not ready to increase the wages. Because somewhere these wages are going to increase the cost of production, failing their product to be competitive in the market. So this era of globalization again has too much of impact on the industrial relations and creating unrest. At the same time, we are also replacing man with technology. So there are so many layoffs and retrenchment happening, which will again give rise to strikes and slow down strikes. The entrepreneurs are often forced to squeeze wages and push productivity for survival in today's market-driven economy. New lifestyles. The workers are increasingly adopting new urban lifestyles, and this is expensive and requires a larger income for the family. So when we talk about new lifestyles, in earlier days we have a very simple lifestyle. But now when we talk about education of our children, or the workers even dream to send their kids to good schools. So this new lifestyle is somewhere responsible for increasing the expenses that are being made by the employees. And at the same time, the wages are not increasing. So that creates a frustration among the employees, and they go on strikes, or the unrest is created because of this imbalance between increase in wages and salaries and increase in the expenditure made by the employee. The workers are often drawn into industrial battle by such compulsions. So that means the employees somewhere don't want to do this, but what the situation is expecting, they go into such battles with their employer for increasing the monetary benefits arising out of the employment. Low cost production alternatives. The employers often defeat the purpose of trade unions by searching out low-cost production alternatives in the form of small-scale subsidiary unit in smaller towns where low wage will do. Now, this particular point is discussing about whenever a trade union approaches the management for, say, better working conditions, increase in wage rise, etc. So, your management, what they do is they find some alternative that can replace the current workforce, and not only that, the cost of production will also reduce. Now say for example, if there is a car manufacturing unit, so the spare parts are being manufactured in that car manufacturing unit. Now say a trade union related to that section, you know, what is bargaining with the management to increase the wages. Now, whatsoever will be the wages, you know, prevailing in that industry, the management don't want to increase wages. Now, what management will do is, that particular department who is producing the spare parts for that car manufacturing company, they will outsource it to, or they will, you know, set up a subsidiary unit somewhere in the rural area where they will be easily getting workers at a low wage rate. So they will ultimately be able to, you know, reduce their cost of production, and at the same time, the trade union are at a loss. Rising prices and insufficient pay. In factories, the workers have to do hard work and get insufficient pay. When the circumstances get beyond endurance, they are obliged to resort to strikes. The workers are much affected by rising prices. Now here, when we are talking about the inflation rate, so inflation rate is rising at a higher pace. And when compared to the rise in the wage or salary of a worker, is not at that percentage. So this imbalance between the inflation and the rise in wage also, you know, force the employee to go on strike. But at the same time, it is having a worsen effect on the employees, because what is happening, already they are facing too much because of the increased price of the goods, but when they go on strike, what happens is the production of particular goods and services are at stake. And similarly, when the supply of this products in the market reduces, the prices of the product further rises. So ultimately, the loss is to the employee, and they are at a higher loss because of this price increase. Though they get dearness allowance is the allowance paid to the worker to meet with the inflation, and their salary is increased, they are unable to support their family as the real purchasing power of the money has substantially decreased. So your purchasing power means, earlier in 2 rupees, say I used to buy 1 kg of sugar. Now I am given a 50% hike in my salary. That means I am getting salary of 3 rupees. But now sugar prices is, say for example, 4 rupees. So there is increase in my salary, but at the same time, purchasing power of that 3 rupee has reduced. They do not get essential goods at fair prices. Inter-union rivalry is again a major cause of industrial unrest. As we have discussed in the Trade Union Act 1926, that there are several trade unions set up in an organization or in industry. So there is a rivalry or a conflict within the trade union. So they do not have that unity, and this advantage is being taken by the management. By this inter-union rivalry, they are not at that strong part to go and bargain with the management. Multiplicity of unions and inter-union rivalries also cause labor unrest. Inter-union rivalry often helps strikes. Unsatisfactory solutions. Actually, both the government and the authorities concerned are guilty of insufficient handling of strikes. Instead of finding genuine solutions to reform the condition of the workers, they make the strike a prestige issue. As a result of unsatisfactory solution of strike, the trouble is temporarily suppressed, but it rises its ugly head again with a greater force. Now here, even the authorities who are concerned with, you know, industrial relations and government are trying hard to find solutions wherein they can satisfy employee completely or 100%. But they are unable to do so, because now strikes, or the trade union who goes on strikes, they do not consider, you know, to come at a common point or to let go some part of the demands. But that rather takes a ego issue, and they are not ready to settle. So as a result of this, what is happening? Whenever an employer or a management or an organization, industry is trying to give something extra to that employee for a temporary period of time, they are ready to settle on that. But then completely 100% they are not settling on that whatever extra is being given. So later, after some days, some months, again they will go on strike. So it is becoming a continuous cycle that they put forward some demand which are not completed 100%, but say 20 to 30% rise is being given, or the issues are being settled. But then this 70% which is left out again give a form of unrest or a conflict between both the parties, and again this employers, the workers go on strike for the unfulfilled demands.